Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church on this, our Youth Sunday. And I want to thank Emily for that wonderful rendition of the church's basic message, was that Jesus loves me and He loves us all. We have a special whole program today, but I want you to take a minute of silence and pray for this service and for our youth and fulfill our preacher. And then we'll stand and Lucas Bassett will lead us in our greeting and our Ten Commandments. Brothers and sisters, let us stand before the Lord.
Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. My name is Lucas Bassett, and I am very excited that you have decided to join us for worship this morning. It is a big day in the life of our church, and especially our youth ministry. I'd like to invite you to join me in our Trinitarian greeting. As the friends of God, let us bless the Lord. Blessed be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. God spoke from the mountain and said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Almighty God, write your law upon our heart. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Almighty God, write your law upon our hearts. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Almighty God, write your law upon our hearts. Please join in the opening hymn number 62, All Creatures of God Are King.
Thank you.
Our opening prayer will be led by Bennett Charles.
Good morning. Good morning. I'd like to invite you to join me in our common prayer. May the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you love and guard us along the path of life. When we are born, you are there to welcome us. And when we die in the faith, you receive us in your presence. From start to finish, we are yours. And you have put in our hearts a hunger to seek and find you. We thank you for parents and grandparents, teachers and preachers, the coaches and friends you send our way, for a chance to stretch our wings and try out new things. We are grateful that Jesus passed through all these stages as your Son is amazing. And as he understands, we can trust him all the more. Have patience with us, most merciful God, for this wide, wonderful world is full of dangers, and we are not yet full of wisdom. We receive every day as a fresh call to follow Jesus Christ and to invite the Holy Spirit to guide us in their faith. Amen. I invite you to take a moment with God in silent confession. In Christ's name, amen.
Be seated. Those in the center aisle will please pick up the registration pads and sign in and pass them down. If you're a visitor, we're glad you're here. And if you mark one of the boxes, you'll send us a message and we promise to follow up on that. I remind you that we meet in the chapel every Thursday evening from 6:30 to 7 and we pray for 20 or 30 needs. Lee Robards has done an amazing job with her little team of putting in our directories. They're available at the ramp after the service. They did cost about $10 a piece, and if you'd like to make a donation, you can. If you don't want to make a donation, you still have a directory for your family. As part of our ongoing search for a new youth and children's minister, we'll be having a forum in the Trinity classroom on Tuesday evening. You don't have to have a child, you just have to care. If you care about children's ministry, birth through fifth grade, be here at 6 to 7 for discussion with the pastor staff committee, and youth ministry from 7 to 8. Our mud pies continues to grow. There are only a few openings for the fall, and there's some special summer camps for children you can find out about. And our women's ministry, which is growing, is starting a new book study on June the 6th at 6 p.m., and you can contact Kathy Kelly. And our youth have a fundraiser out in the hallway, and you can get a Frank's Car Wash ticket. Now, the Nordstrom family, Katie and Joel, have announced that they have a child on the way. And at the end of today's service, we'll be having a brief service of blessing for them up here after the service is over. And all the families and friends of our seniors are invited back to the fellowship hall for a small reception after our service is ended. And you will see in the bulletin a copy of a little feature program featuring our seniors. We have a very special scholarship to present now, the Chad Withers Scholarship, and I'm going to invite Phil Sanders and Brandon Smith down for the presentation.
Morning, everyone. My name is Brandon Smith. I think I know most everyone out there, but it is my honor and privilege today to award this scholarship, the Chad Weathered Scholarship. I think it's especially fitting to do this here on Youth Sunday. I understand that typically this award is given by the previous year's recipient. Since there was no recipient last year, they asked me to award this, as I believe I'm probably the last person in Chad's inner circle that is still a member here at the church. And so I'm very honored to be able to give this award. Before I present the award, please allow me to give a little bit of background about the award. As some of y'all may recall, hopefully more than not, recall Chad Weathered, who was a peer of mine in the 80s and 90s here at church at Main Street. Chad Weathered was a funny, bright, motivated, and oftentimes shy and reserved young man. Chad and I were part of a larger group in our neighborhood on those mean streets of Gatewood back in the late 80s and early mid 90s that kind of roamed the streets and mostly good intentioned, but oftentimes more so than not, sometimes a bit mischievous. Chad and I spent many days and sleepovers together playing sports, fishing around the neighborhood and doing normal youth activities. We were also part of a crew of typical youth teenagers that made up Main Street UMYF beginning 20 plus years ago. On most Sundays you could find us here in the mornings, of course, for church and Sunday school. I think that was kind of beat into our heads by our parents, Dennis and Jan, and my parents, DeWitt and Cindy. And they were going to make sure we got our religion in over our sometimes vocal objections. But we always enjoyed being part of the youth group on Sunday nights. We, as a youth group, were molded by Mike Smith, who I hope a lot of y'all remember. Was assistant minister and youth director that probably did not even realize what he was getting into with the youth director portion of it when he took the job. But Mike was young Phil's predecessor here, and I'd like to take the time now to express to Phil how wonderful of a job I think he's done in filling the large shoes that he had to fill, and that was certainly a large task, and we're going to miss you, Phil, as you move on, you and Heidi move on. As youth, Chad and I and the other youth spent countless hours at Mike Smith's house and at the church and in various youth activities and mission trips. Chad was a regular on those mission trips, certainly more so than I was. But Chad was an example of why our youth program is such an important part of our church, and that should never be overlooked, no matter how old some of us get. I came to view Chad during that time as a leader among the youth, not so much with his words, as he was a quiet young man, but more so with his actions. I think I certainly don't have a transcript of this year's recipient of the Chad Weathered Award, but I think Chad would probably agree with me, and he's probably laughing right now. It certainly wouldn't shock either one of us if this year's recipient is more academically accomplished than either Chad and I were. But Chad was a smart kid, but this award is about more than just academics. It's bestowed on a high school senior in our youth group that has had an impact on people and has sought to walk a spiritual journey as Chad did. Chad's spirit remains alive here at Main Street. If you're one of those that don't remember him or didn't know him and may have asked yourself who that is, that picture is out there in the lobby, that's a picture of Chad. The youth may know him from the somewhat infamous picture of him doing a backflip on his bike into the lake. I believe that picture still stands in one of the youth rooms. I actually thought about Chad specifically a few months ago when I drove out there, took my kids out there to see what in the world those main lakes at Gatewood would look like without water in them. I'd never seen it like that before when they drained them after some problems. And I went out there thinking maybe I'd find a few missing articles that 20 plus years old. One of the main reasons I thought about them was when I got out there, right below the main dock off the dam, where we would construct a ramp to ride our bikes off, was a bike sticking right out of the mud. And it made me certainly think about him. But that picture to me is perfect for remembering Chad as a risk taker, but he was also one who had a desire to learn about God and again to seek to walk a spiritual path. For those of you that don't know, Chad passed away in a car accident 22 years ago now. It was my first experience with the loss of a peer, as in the 10th grade. And as you can imagine, on a high school sophomore, that has that would change a person's life and change their outlook on life. Main Street has had such an impact on Chad and the Withards that Chad's sister Shannon returned just a couple years ago to have her baby baptized here, despite the fact that the Withards have all moved on to other parts of South Carolina. I'd like to recognize them now. If you saw me at the beginning of the service looking around for someone, don't think I was looking at anyone in particular. I was looking for the Withers, but I saw them walk in. I'd like to recognize Dennis and Jan and Shannon, if you could stand up and be recognized. I look forward to speaking with y'all afterwards. But I'd like to mention before we give the award that there were certainly a number of worthy recipients this year. But we've decided this is an award that's only going to be able to go to one person per year. So there certainly were other worthy recipients. But without further ado, the recipient of this year's award and scholarship embodies Chad's spirit and his zest for life, which is what we look for. This recipient has been involved in numerous clubs and organizations at Emerald. He played on the Emerald golf team. Equally as important, he's been active in the youth group. In UMYF, numerous missions, church-related trips and activities. He comes from a great family here at Main Street with a long history here at Main Street. He enjoys the outdoors like Chad and I did. And basically, he's shown a willingness and a desire to help others. I understand that he plans to use the scholarship towards his study of agriculture next year at Clemson. So I'm honored to award the 2016 Chad Withers Scholarship to Jay Logan.
I'd like to now invite Cecilia McGinnis up to read our first reading.
Good morning. Our first reading is taken from 2 Kings 2, 1 through 2 and 6 through 14. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then Elijah said to them, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and stuck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you now before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha said. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots of horsemen and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd now like to invite all of our children to come forward and join Miss Julia Baker for our children's time.
Hey, everybody. So y'all can come closer, because y'all are sort of far away. All right, so who knows what a GPS is? Do y'all know what it does? So what you do, you can get it in your phone, or you have one in your car, and it takes you where you need to go. Does anybody know how it works? No? Okay. So you put your little coordinates in your GPS, and then it goes up to a satellite, comes back to your phone, like, super quick, and then it gives you, like, step-by-step directions to go where you need to go. And so God has sort of given us, like, an internal GPS, and it's the Holy Spirit, but, you know, GPSs also need maps, because you got to know where you want to go, and that's... We need to use the Bible as our, like, internal map. And the cool thing about GPSs is if you take a wrong turn for where you're supposed to be going and you get lost, it just gives you another direction or another place to go to show you, like, where to go. And so God, the Holy Spirit, has, like, backed you up. And, like, if you take a wrong decision or make a wrong choice, like maybe taking a cookie out of the cookie jar before dinner, he has got you backed up, and it's like, it's okay, just next time don't do that, because you're going to spoil your dinner. And so God has given you the tools you need to follow him in his footsteps. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us the tools we need.
Thank you for giving us the tools we need
to follow in your footsteps.
To follow in your footsteps.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Jerusalem, beside the temple there, I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven answering. thought my dream was changed. The streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery. The morn was cold and chill as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing. Hosanna in the highest, hosanna to your King.
And once again the scene was changed, and new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, and the gates were opened wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine.
Sam Crooks will now come forward and read our sermon lesson for us.
Our sermon lesson is taken from Colossians 1, 1 through 6, and 9 through 10. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Because we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the Lord love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come for you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continuously ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sam. Good morning. As most of you know, my name is Phil. I'm the youth minister here. And as well as most of you know, I am on my way out of here with a deadline still unknown, but I am transitioning out after 2.5 years here at Main Street working with the youth and young adults. And in the past few weeks, I have hugged a lot of you. I have cried a lot in my office as I've packed stuff away. We've hugged one another, and a lot of times one or the other of us have said, "This isn't goodbye." We mean, "This isn't the end." And "I count on seeing you again," or "I won't forget you." Because goodbyes are hard. So we say, "This isn't goodbye." Goodbyes are hard. We just, a moment ago, heard the story of Elijah, the prophet, being taken up into heaven in a fiery chariot, while Elisha, the younger prophet, who has refused to leave him, calls after him. It's the story of a very hard goodbye. But before I talk any more about their story, I should clarify. I don't mean this story is any form of a metaphor for my own departure. Elijah, in the biblical story, is the one who leaves, and in our story together, I will soon depart. But let me be clear. I by no means am a prophet. I don't come anywhere close. I've never performed a miracle, and I've never heard God speak directly. When a moving truck comes in a few weeks and drives our belongings away, it won't look anything like a fiery chariot. And I really don't expect any of you to be standing in the street screaming after us. Maybe Hannah. Elijah was swept up into heaven, and we will be moving to Virginia, which is an awesome place, but the similarities end there. Still, it has been very good for me to think about and ponder this story as I have prepared to move on, because Elijah and Elisha were partners in ministry. Elijah had adopted Elisha when Elisha was a young man. Elisha had been working in a field, and Elijah approached, and to show that he was adopting him, threw his prophet's mantle, which was kind of like a cape, over Elisha. After that, they traveled a long road together. They saw and felt God in mighty ways. They shared adventures together. They cared about each other. Goodbye for them was hard because ministry together had been so good. In the end, though, no matter how long they stalled, the fiery chariot swept in and took Elijah up into that mysterious divine whirlwind. Only his prophetic mantle fluttered to the ground. Elisha was left behind, and in deep grief, he tore off his own clothes, which I don't expect any of you to do. Then he picked up the mantle that had belonged to his teacher. He went back to cross the Jordan River and go home, and doing as Elijah had done before, Elisha took the mantle and struck the water with it. And he cried out, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Then wondrously the water parted for Elijah as it had parted for Elijah before him, and the young man crossed over into a new phase of his own ministry. Elisha mantle in hand, asked where God was now that Elijah was gone, now that an important chapter of life and ministry was done. And when those waters parted, it became clear that the answer to his question was that the God of his teacher, Elijah, well, he was right there, right then, with Elisha. The God of Elijah was also the God of Elisha. Elijah, the great prophet, he may have disappeared, but God hadn't gone anywhere. The waters parted at Elisha's anguished question, as though to say, God's presence isn't limited to one person, place, or time. God worked in the past through Elijah to teach and inspire people. God will work in the future through Elisha to do the same. God is faithful yesterday, today, and forever, even in the midst of hard goodbyes. By the grace of God, your story and mine have intersected for the past 2.5 years. We also have journeyed together, and we have seen God at work. At youth, sometimes I have been the teacher, and you all have been the learners. But know this, that more often than not, you have been the teachers, and I have been the one learning. Very frequently, this congregation was an Elijah to me, a mentor and a teacher. When I came here in October of 2013, I had never lived on my own. But you welcomed me and helped me get oriented to this new context of life. You gave me grocery store suggestions and invited me to your houses for dinner. You helped me move furniture multiple times. You even helped me get my car fixed multiple times. You told me stories from this church's history and introduced me to potential volunteers. Some of you even made the 7-hour trek north to Virginia for Heidi and I's wedding. You welcomed me. You welcomed us. And you taught me. When I came here, I had never organized a confirmation program on my own. I'd never planned multiple curriculums. These and many, many other tasks you entrusted me with. And they were things that I learned to do in this place. This community has been my teacher. You have also taught me through your personal examples. I've been privileged, so privileged, to be invited into your lives. Sometimes in the inner moments of life where you are most vulnerable, moments of change, joy, loss, or fragile hope, you have told me your stories. Sitting in my office or riding home from retreats, you have told me your stories. You have spoken of moral victories and deepening faith. You have told me of your deep wounds and heavy burdens, and you have let me pray for you. I have learned and grown through these encounters with you. You have been Elijah to me. You have taught and inspired me. Now the time has come for a goodbye. And as Elijah and Elisha's story shows, goodbyes are hard. Many of you have kindly expressed that it is difficult for you to say goodbye to Heidi and I. I assure you, though, that no matter how excited we are for what lies ahead, it is equally sad for us to say goodbye to you. I think back to our days in Florida at Big Stuff, or in the inner city of Nashville, or the late nights at lock-ins. We've spread mulch, sorted boxes, gathered hundreds of diapers, snorkeled in the Gulf of Mexico, and rafted down raging rapids in Charlotte. We have worked very hard alongside each other. We've played, and we've had a lot of fun. We answered deep questions and tough topics, and probably ate too much candy and laughed really hard. And as I watched yesterday, our students paddle rafts, fall off of rafts, get back on again, I realize how much I have come to love you all, how rich and rewarding working with you and living life with you has been, and how very hard it is to leave. But this I believe wholeheartedly. Although goodbye is so hard, it can be done with great hope. Elijah departed, and a particular time of ministry came to an end. But God didn't depart. Ministry continued on. Life continued on. And the stories of the past became the encouragement of the future. I have not the slightest doubt that fruitful ministry will happen here at Main Street for years and years to come, because it is God who is at work here, not me. And God, He is faithful. Just as I entrust you to God, you can trust that God will lead us forward. God's work is not limited to this place or this time, and you and I will both continue to grow even as we part ways. So this is a hard goodbye, said with great hope. As I said before, I have hugged many of you in the past few weeks, and often one or the other of us have said this isn't goodbye. We don't like to say goodbye. But goodbye is actually the right thing to say, because it doesn't mean the end. No, goodbye is a contraction of the old phrase, God be with you. Goodbye is a word of hope and blessing. In the preschool my youngest sister attended, they would all gather the students for chapel every Friday, and they would always end with a special blessing. The children would all line up and extend their hands to catch the blessing, and they'd all say together, God be with you, God go with you, now and always. Goodbye is the right thing to say, because wherever we are and wherever we go, the God who came among us in Jesus Christ, He's still among us, with each and every one of us. When I say goodbye, God be with you, to you, I believe that God will truly remain here among you. And when you say goodbye to Heidi and I, trust that God's Spirit accompanies us. Goodbye is a word of hope and blessing, a prayer for those we love. So I want to end this message with two prayers that I have for you as I go. The other scripture reading we heard was from the first chapter of Colossians, in which the writer greets his friends who are far away, and he says, "We have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to God, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God." I'm a Christian educator. I've been the director of youth and young adult ministries in this church, and have been blessed to have gotten to work really closely with the children's ministry. And so my first hope has always been that you, teenagers and children, that you would be filled with the kind of knowledge that is life-changing and world-transforming. My hope is that you would continue to grow in knowledge of yourselves and one another, in the kind of knowledge that becomes wisdom, so that you will live lives that pleases God and blesses others. This is the knowledge of discipleship. When you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you gain knowledge that is far more than academic. It is personal and profound and changes how you will go about life. Discipleship knowledge doesn't fall into our brains. We don't get it by osmosis. Knowledge of God and spiritual wisdom grow over time, and they grow when we seek them. When we say, I want to learn about my faith. I want to learn more of who God is and God's purpose for my life. We are meant to seek out this kind of knowledge, and Jesus promised us that when we seek the things of God, we will find them. So that is my first hope and prayer for you, that all of you would seek to grow in knowledge and wisdom so that your lives would be transformed more and more into God's vision for them. And so that you would be people who transform your little corner of the world into the place that God's meant for it to be. The second one is for all of the adults. I pray that you would help the children and youth of this church to learn who God is and what God has made them for. I am more than thrilled that Main Street Church is supporting children's and youth ministries. But we have got to do it more fully with more volunteers, resources, and staff. It is vitally important to intentionally teach the younger members of our church who they are meant to be and to whom they belong. That kind of learning will not happen by accident. Children and youth learn that God passionately loves them when adults care enough to tell them and show them that. So I pray that as all of you seek knowledge and wisdom, you would pass on what you believe to children and youth. Those are my hopes and prayers. I pray you will seek to know God and seek to teach children and young people. I say those prayers with confidence because I believe that God will be with you, empowering you both to learn and to teach. Goodbyes between friends are hard. Goodbyes are especially hard when ministry together has been so good and so rich. This is a very hard goodbye for me because I love you all so much. But I know that our faithful God was with you in the past. He's with you now. And He will be with you in the future. So goodbye is the right thing to say. And so, sisters and brothers in Christ, partners in ministry, fellow travelers in life's pilgrimage, children, adults, and youth, my friends, God be with you. God go with you, now and always. Amen. I'd like to invite you now to take some time in silence and reflection. Please rise for our hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour, found on page 397. Seated. I'd like to now invite our youth down to collect our tithes and offerings, and Skylar and Rhonda have a special treat for you.
Thank you.
idealism of young people, and for this special Sunday and this great marker, let us stand and give God praise.
Seated. At this time, we'd like to invite our seniors, our graduating seniors, up front. We'd like to offer a blessing for each of you as you move into this new and exciting chapter in your lives. And I'm going to ask that you guys stay up here afterwards. And we'd like to invite the congregation at the end of the service to come forward and congratulate them and wish them well on their next journey.
Lay hands on the field and lift on their shoulders. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for these young people. We thank you when news first got out that they were on the way. We thank you how they were welcomed into Christian families and baptized and brought to church and shaped in the faith. And Lord, as they head out to be adults and go to college and learn their way and make some of their own mistakes and help them to remember that there are families they can return to and that Jesus Christ is always a good place to come home to. And may we walk with them all their days. Give them wisdom and zeal, belief in you and in themselves. At this your graduation, this turning point, we bless you all. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we pray over you as Christ called us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'll ask that you stand over maybe in front of the screen with Phil. And if you'll please stand for our concluding hymn, number 405, Seek Ye First. And friends, remember the reception in the fellowship hall. The directories are available. And come up and greet these young people. And when that's cleared, I'll invite the Nordstroms up and anybody that wants to join them for a blessing of their child that's on the way. I invite you to listen to senior citizens this week because they have wisdom. I invite you to encourage the not so young that they may be diligent in their duties. I invite you to encourage the young because they need your help. Be about the holy business of encouragement. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all now and evermore. And God's people said, amen.